Ron, you may not quite be aware of this. A few years ago in Australia, there was a big sensation at the release of a new praise and worship song through Hillsong, which is our primary producer of worship music, and I know that it's known around the world. But Hillsong are part of a Pentecostal movement and tradition of churches, once known as the Assemblies of God. I'm not sure. I think that's changed these days, but whatever. They're Hillsong Church. They're gigantic. They're very enthusiastic. But a well-known church leader from the Anglican Church in Australia, in Sydney, widely regarded as a very conservative evangelical branch of the church, reached out to them through Twitter and said, "Hey, Hillsong, you should do a worship song based on the Apostles' Creed." And to their credit, Hillsong got back in touch and said, "Well, you help us write it." And they did. And everybody loved it. Everybody started using this creed song. The reason I want to go through that is because I want to ask you, Ron, you say that you were coming up in a very conservative church at the time when this album was released. Can I ask, is there any chance that a bridge could have been built in any small way through the next song on this album, Creed, which is built on the foundation of the Apostles' Creed, and you could at least hand to the conservative elements of your church and say, hey, look at where we're coming from here." Was there any possibility of building that connection through this song?
No.
Ha.
Well, I mean, as I said, we to get the movie played for the youth group was, they had to fight for that. So I basically didn't even try with stuff like that. I just kind of kept it to myself with the youth people, and and that was it. But I mean, Creed as a song, I think it's, first of all, I think every song of Beyond Belief is perfect, to be honest with
Yes,
you.
I
Even the deep
agree.
cuts, which I can't wait to talk about the deep cuts. But I think Creed is the pinnacle song for Petra in the sense that this is where they get to come out and literally, with those opening lines in the song, let people know what they are about, what they believe. And it's so cool. I know we're talking about Beyond Belief, but for those who've seen the footage of Petra performing at Farm Aid on Unseen Power, John Schlitt introduces the song to a completely secular audience when they played at Farm Aid. And he said, "Here's a song about something we believe in." And for them to perform Creed in a huge stadium being broadcast all over America into a secular audience, there's no better song for them to perform than Creed because it lets the world know what they believe in, what this band is about, and it's such a great testament to their belief as a band. And this would probably be one of the first songs I would play for somebody if they said, "Oh, what's Petra? I don't know who they are," or whatever. That would be one of the top three songs I would give them to listen to. Say, "Hey, this is what these guys are."
Dave, what's your reflections on Creed?
Well, I mean, this song, I remember the first time, I can remember the first time I heard this song because the song, it sounds like you're coming into a ballad. You've got that lovely keyboard sound playing underneath, John Lowry doing some runs up and down the keyboard. You feel that you're getting this ballad. They John starts bringing out the lines. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And you can sense this is a song of belief, like Ron just said. There's a heart behind this. There's a true testimony here. I believe, in the man of sorrows, bruised for iniquities. I'm sitting there going, this is fantastic. And then we get in the second verse. I believe in the resurrection on the third and glorious day. And you get a little bit of bass in there. And I believe in the empty tomb and the stone that the angel rolled away, and bang, You get hit in the face. I mean, the song itself is a hit in the face of belief, but you get hit in the face with the rock. It comes out, it hits, it goes, and it is fantastic. It's it drives from that point where we're moving through, and this is my creed, the witness I've heard. Now, it's just a statement one after the other of belief, and I think in there the sound that they produce is a statement of sound. This is what you think a song of belief should be about in the church. Keyboards playing. No, we are rock. Bang, there it is. They go into it. We get solid all the way through. We go into the coda. And you get this lovely guitar solo before you hit the final chorus. But the coda is, I think there's a great reflection of the destination of it, of our soul, you know. You know, the resurrected souls of men receive from him their fate, some to death and some to life, and some to their reward, and some to sing eternal praise forever to our Lord. That coda brings about, this is where our soul is going. This is our destination. We get a great guitar solo, and it's a statute of beliefs. And it's just affirmed. We're laying this journey. We're an army getting ready for battle. We're living on the foundation of the rock. And here's what we believe. This is the belief we have in our heart, and it lays the foundation, I think, for where we're about to go in this message that's creeping in, this journey of theme that's moving through this album. This song just, it hits you in the face, and it's Petra all encompassed in one shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we roll on now into the title track of the album. It's Beyond Belief Itself. I've always been fascinated by the intro. Another one of those intros that's just so infinitely recognizable. The kind of thing, just the first few bars of it, the first few notes, everybody knows the song that is coming. It's a Stairway to Heaven type of iconic. It's a signature of the band. It's a song that builds and it cascades as it goes. You know, it's not everyone coming in all at once. It's building over time. Ron, has Petra at this point in their journey as a band, is this the song that they've been building towards all this time?
A lot of people are going to say that. I mean, there's a video that came out also within the last year with John Schlitt and John Lowry joining this secular singer who's doing Beyond Belief.
Would that be Dan Bass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So speaking about how impactful that song still is, I mean, as I said, you know, my favorite Petra song is going to be I Am on the Rock. But I mean, just looking at the lyrics of Beyond Belief, Bob Hartman is such a great lyricist, songwriter. I'm blown away by his songwriting, really. And just the things he's saying in this, you know, from faith to faith, we grow towards the center of the flow where he beckons us to go beyond belief. And everything they're saying in this song, you know, because so many people become Christian and that's it. They just sit there and they don't go any further. You know, I'm not saying everybody has to go on a missions trip because that's not in everybody's calling. Okay, I get that. But I think that outside of the spiritual realm, okay, that the lyrics of this song could speak to anybody in any part of their life, just saying, whatever you do at work or with your family or with your friends or what you want to do as a goal in life, you should always be going beyond what it is, you know? So I think I'm saying that in a non-spiritual sense, this song could speak to people, right? So in the spiritual sense, it speaks even more. And I just, you know, it's such a popular song. Everybody's always, you hear them singing it when they're talking to people. I saw John Schlitt in an interview when a family came on and the father was had all of his young children under the age of five. They knew the lyrics to beyond belief of all Petra songs. What can I say?
Yeah. Dave, what have you gleaned this time going through and revisiting Beyond Belief?
Well, I think you really nailed it earlier. It's a very iconic introduction. I remember sitting with my guitar teacher, and I'm a rhythm guitarist. I was never disciplined enough to learn lead. I can't play I Am on the Rock. I can't play lead guitar solos, but I can play the introduction to Beyond Belief. It's the one song I can play the way it was written because we were sat down and worked it out. It's such an iconic introduction, that guitar banging in there, then the keys and the bass start building in underneath it. And it builds throughout the song. It builds into the chorus. You get that stronger rock sound. They carry it through. Then you get the variation at the coda with a bit of a back off, and the bass really carries it in under there. I love the backing vocals in the chorus. It adds an element of depth in the song. Then you get another amazing Bob guitar solo. Such varied technique. He shows his diversity in just song to song, the diversity of his skill as a musician. And then you come away out of that guitar solo into the chorus line, but with, you know, there, you know, sort of backstory up, there's a higher place to go. And then the power chords, beyond belief. And then they race off. It's just so iconic. But it's like we've seen, this song is about going deeper with God. You know, we've just shared, we've had the creed. This is what we believe. But walking with God is not just sitting on what we believe. It's about realizing there's more to our Christian walk. There's that faith and that trust that God is always there. It's taking the next step. Bob writes about it in the devotional. He says, early on in my Christian life, I was told that if salvation is all there is, then God should take us home right then. He has plans for us in life and the next, and his design is to mold us into the image of his son so that his glory be revealed. And so Beyond Belief is about going beyond basic belief to the next level of Christian life, to that depth, leaping, you know, the words are in there, leap of faith without a net. There's a deeper place to go, you know, where moving can seem dangerous, but we're going to go there anyway. It's going to take a while. It takes so long to see the change. And when we start the journey, it looks strange, but when we get there, we know we're so much better for it. This song is about the next step in your Christian life. And I think, you know, that's another reason why I think this song is so iconic, is because it's that challenge to Christians. Don't just sit where, you know, we don't just live in one place. We keep pressing in, keep getting closer, keep growing with depth, and allow God to refine us to be a deeper reflection of who he is in this world, to change the world for him.
Well, one of those key indicators of how we are being transformed by God's Spirit is the way in which we come to demonstrate love to one another, to those around us. So it's very Absolutely. Fitting. It's very fitting that the next song after that call is the first ballad of this album, the song Love. The one Petra song that I've ever gotten to perform for a friend's wedding, because it's an appropriate one. Feels like a companion kind of song to Michael W. Smith's Friends, of the same era. Both songs, ballads that have transcended in a lot of ways. They've people who are not fans of Petra love this song. You know, our mum likes this song. So Dave, as you've gone through, what has stood out this time around?
I think before I share that, I think I totally agree with you that this is, it's sort of the next step in the journey when we reach that place, that deeper place. This song is the reflection of the life we should be living. If we've come to this point of belief and moving deeper and deeper, then our life is living out the love of the Father, the love that's exhibited here. This is what it means to be a Christian. And the Bible says very clearly, Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And the Bible teaches very clearly that love is this love, this passage just brought to life. It's such a beautiful song. You get that beautiful pad feel at the beginning. And every time I hear it, it's not Petra, but every time I hear it, that pad feel almost sounds like, if you listen tightly, it almost sounds like we are the reason. David Meese's, yep. We Are the Reason. Just sits in there. Da, na, 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 na. Yep.
I've always thought that.
And then you get the beautiful acoustic guitar sounds, very reminiscent of More Power to You. What he's playing there. Yeah. We just adapt the words straight out of 1 Corinthians 13. John's sincerity in what he's singing is just so evident. He believes every word that he's singing when he's there. In the chorus, the bass and the drums come in, but they never overpower anything else that's happening. It's just a beautiful feeling of love. We get a deeper sound in the second verse as the drums and the bass continued to call. Each verse into the next chorus, into the coda, it builds and builds. And in those latter chorus, we get the choir sound. And it's like the unity of the believers. You know, the song is about, as you know, living a life of love. And you know, we get in the coda, in the world where hatred seems to go, true love goes against the flow. It becomes hard to show. We have the strength to rise above. We're called as believers to live it together. And it's like in the last chorus, we've got the unity of believers all singing love. We love each other. You will know our love because it's there to each other. And so the believers are singing it together, and it just really just comes together in such a powerful way.
Ron, what's your connection to this particular song in this album?
Well, I'm going to say something pretty brief because, you know, Dave's has said it all. And I love Dave's comments. Incredible stuff. When I watched that Beyond Belief movie with my family, I remember at the end of the video for Love that my mom, she went, wow. Like, this is so awesome. So I think it's probably my mom's favorite song. So it's kind of cool that you're asked, because I mean, that's one of my fond memories of Love, is that, you know, my mom being so floored with that song.
Yeah. No, that's
great. And I love it too. I mean, it's a great song. And actually, if you think about Beyond Belief as let's say a vinyl album, right? This is the end of side one. And they've been rocking you along. Yep. And then what they do is they sort of bring things down at the end of side one with a ballad. And I think it's a perfect way to end the first side of what would be a vinyl album.
Yeah. Well, as the needle lifts and moves over to the edge so that you can flip that vinyl over and start again, we lead into side B with something I've always felt is a bit of a dark horse song, at least off this album, if not Petra's entire catalogue. But it's their song Underground, another collaboration song, John Elefante working with Bob Hartman. Ron, you asked about this song in particular during the interview, if I recall. Is there something particular about Underground that that resonates with you or that's grabbed you over the years?
Well, here's the thing. You know, we're just talking about side one. If you think about it, guys, every song on side one was a single.
Yes, yes.
Right. Now, going into side two with Underground, one of the deep cuts, and actually Petra did perform this on the Beyond Belief tour, just so people are aware.
It would have been good to see.
And it was really good to see, because one thing that was kind of dramatic about the way that they performed this song is that when it got to the chorus, John Schlitt kind of got down, you know, sort of on his knees singing Underground. And I said, that's so cool. He's going down to sing that chorus of Underground. And I thought, that's kind of dramatic way, a Peter Gabriel type way of doing it, you know. But no, I think it's a great deep track. I've always loved this song. And, you know, I want to let your listeners know that when I did the interview, and we did talk about Underground, because I wanted to talk about the deep cuts. We don't need to talk so much about the success of the hits. I want to really dwell deep. So here's something funny, which is, you know, in the interview that happens throughout, is Bob Hartman says, "Is that on that album?" Right?
Yep, that's right.
Remember,
yep.
That Underground was beyond. And so when I said to him, you know, let's talk about it, it kind of threw Bob for a loop, because even John Schlitt makes a joke to him, which is on the interview, where he says, "Yeah, Bob, I mean, you wrote it. Come on, talk about it." You wrote it, right? So the cool thing is that when I put in the little audio clip, with a short little video clip that I personally made, I've had some feedback from fans asking me that they went on YouTube looking for the rest of that lyric video that I made. And I said, well, I didn't make a whole video. I just did it for the interview. And they wanted it. People wanted to have a Petra lyric video. So there is one now that exists because I made it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, I hope you guys have seen it, right? I think I did send it to you.
We have. And if you know, if you're happy with us doing it, Ron, as part of our promotion of this episode, we'll include links to your lyric video through our Facebook page.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that was done because fans asked me for it. And like one guy was really pushing me for it. And I said, you know, and this is the great thing about how that interview has made an impact. And, you know, let's say even on a spiritual sense, like, I think people wanted that. So for the people, not for myself, I took my time and I said, I'm going to do this because this is what fans are asking for. And I did it. And I, you know, and that's been having a good response. And actually I did send it to all the guys in Petra. And I will tell you and your listeners that Bob Hartman, when he watched the Underground lyric video, he contacted me and he's like, "You know, I watched your lyric video. Do you know how long it's been since I've listened to the song Underground? It's probably the first time I've listened to it, because I can't remember the last time I listened to Underground." But he said, you know, he complimented me and he said he really liked how I did it. And John Lowry wrote to me saying, "Great job." Like, you know, really thanking me for that. So again, that for me is, again, the greatest compliment, to have the guys really appreciating it and telling me so. And, you know, and some Petra fans I seen have seen it and shared it and stuff. So, yeah, so that's a cool thing to say about Underground. There you go.
Mm.
Dave.
Well, this song is just, where do we start? This song, the guitar wail into the intro, it is just pounding. We just hit with a real solid rock song, and the bass is featured so well in this. This is, I shared before, Ronnie gets featured so well. He gets so many little feature spots on this album. You really feel he's come a long way from when we first heard him in On Fire, with just sort of driving bass things. We're now getting runs and riffs and solos, and it's really pumping. We get another use of the call response in the chorus, "I won't go underground," you know, and then John John sings the next line. So you're getting that feel. But this song is just driving from beginning to end. The musical interlude that they hit is just amazing. It's fast and it's tight. The bass, I'm just like, oh my goodness. But beyond all that, the musical analog is so good, but the words, I mean, if any song is relevant today, it's this song. It is just such a foundation of where we're at in society. Like, it was building back then, but where we're at now, I think the lyrics of this song have such an amazing impact. We've gone on this journey about taking our belief to the next step and living this life. This song is about the repercussions from a cultural point of view, because you've got, you know, the world is watching us and taking aim. They want to tear us down. Ron, I don't know what it's like for you, and I've shared this a little bit before on our podcast, but here in Australia, the media, they love, there are certain media elements that love taking shots at churches like Hillsong. Prominent churches in Australia consistently having shots taken out, trying to tear them down, rip the shreds. The newspapers about 2 months ago did a whole pile of stuff on the salaries that senior pastors in our big churches were earning. Why? In my opinion, for no other reason than to try and tear the church apart and rip them down. This song is about the fact that as Christians, when the world is taking its shots, we're not going to hide. We're not going to go running for cover. We're going to stand up and we're going to be seen and be noticed. And I think in the last 12 to 18 months, I think it's been such a thing. We live in this woke society. You've got to accept everyone. The promotion of gay rights and gay marriage and of marginalized groups, you need to accept them and love them and you know, you can't speak negatively of them. You can't speak, essentially, from a biblical perspective, you can't in any way say anything that would criticize the marginalized or these smaller groups, because the media are waiting to pounce on you. And we need to hold to that regardless. This is who we are. This is what we believe. And this is what God says. And we need to stand on that and not be afraid to be seen. I think this song in our world today is more relevant than it ever was. I know it can be very easy as a Christian to want to run and hide for cover when the world starts taking their pot shots. And I just have to keep praying that God will give me the strength to stand up for what I believe in the face of that persecution. I think it's only going to get worse.
The funniest thing that, you know, you're asking me about, you know, here in Canada for church persecution. Well, I'll just quickly say, our government, I think it was 2 years ago, they cut off all funding for any church in Canada for their summer camps, which had previously always been funded by the Canadian government. They could always support summer camps and the churches. But the reason why they cut off all the funding was because on the statement that you send into the government to require funding, there's, you know, a questionnaire. And one of the questions on the questionnaire is, you know, do you support abortion? Do you support abortion? And of course, the church has put no, they don't. And for that one thing, they did all the form, that one question, they cut off all the funding for that one small point. Okay. But sort of a funny thing I wanted to say is we're talking about persecution and we're talking about that underground video. Not that long ago, there was a Christian person who wrote to me and they didn't like the video. And they bashed me for making the Petra underground lyric video. It was a Christian person and they didn't like what I did. They didn't appreciate it, whatever. And they were letting me know this very clearly, you know, which I was a bit shocked about, but it's fine. Everybody's a critic. I respect that. But I said to the person, well, you know what? That's fine. But actually, the members of Petra themselves like this video and support it. And that means more to me than your opinion.
Well, You're right in that it does us no good to hide from the world. We need to be seen. We need to be seen. Mm. But it ain't so important all the time that we be heard. Now, that's an ironic thing for a podcaster to say. I totally get that. But seen and not heard is the follow-up song on that album. I've always dug this song. This was one that it's again Bob's little thing of taking a well-known phrase or a pithy saying and then working a Christian song around it and building a message. And this one, I was at that perfect age where kind of for the first time I got it. I got it first time. I understood what he was saying, what the song was about when I first listened to it as a young kid. And I thought, wow, that's deep. That's the way it should be. You know, Christians, we can run our mouths a lot and and I don't want to take away anything from what you've just been talking about, Dave. But part of where we find ourselves as a church now and the reaction we get from the media is in part a reflection of decades in, at least in the current society, decades of the church running its mouth about what's right and wrong and how people should live their lives. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. not always living lives or living an example themselves that backs that up.
Well, Bob actually says that he wrote this song at what he saw as one of the darkest times for Christians, because it was when all the televangelists were not practicing what they preached. And he actually said, mm-hmm. I was embarrassed for God. I was tired of seeing Christians portrayed in the media as hypocrites and con artists. And I think it is a good follow-up to the last song, because the last song's about don't go hiding. And this one's about let your life be that reflect. Let your life, let your actions shine into the world. It's a really powerful message. I know when I was younger, this song had a massive impact on my life, because I was one of only a couple of Christians in my high school, in my year in high school. And one of the other Christians in my year in high school was notorious for living just like everyone else. And this song really spoke to me about, you know, not letting myself be dragged into just being like everyone else, but to live a life that reflected who God was. And I was reflecting on this today when I was listening to this song earlier today. It was really funny. I actually started reflecting on how I heard this song and made a conscious effort to live my life for God via action. Let my actions be seen that I'm a Christian. And it wasn't long after this that several people that I was not in my closest friendship group, but just on the periphery of my friendship group, they all started asking me about it. They all started coming to my youth group. In the space of about 2 months, we had about 10 new kids come to my youth group who were peripheral friends, because they were watching how I was living life, and they, you know, it attracted to them, and they wanted to know more. They wanted to see more, come along to youth group, and they came, and several of them gave their lives to the Lord. I honestly don't know where they're at with God these days, but God had a plan at that point. You know, that's the message of it. The musicality of this song I've always loved. I think this song is amazing. Power chords galore, a really strong riff in there. The intro is just powerful. It all comes together. It's tight. It punches all the way through. You know, again, the backing vocals all coming together, seen and not heard, and sometimes God's children will be seen and not heard. They work together well. The coda, when they hit that coda bit, we get some real good power chords into, I mean, it's just hard rock. amazing guitar solo. It's simple and it's direct, but it's powerful. And it's one of the few songs that has that tight finish. You know, sometimes God's tune will be seen and not heard. Bang, we're done. Yeah, oh, look, it's, I love this song.
Yeah. Ron,
I want to say, what, first of all, it is a great rock song, great single, as you're saying, musically. But, you know, I think there's one, as you reflect on the lyrics of this song and when, what it's talking about, and it is so impactful because that one line that really, I think, should be the focus for everybody's spiritual life is, let your light shine in all you do. And I think that one line sums up the song, and it is what we should be doing, because as the lyrics are saying, you know, little things that as you're saying, you know, people who don't really live a Christian life, or they do, but they don't. And you know, you should be walking that walk of faith. You know, they're talking about, you know, don't let your mouth start talking till your feet start walking. I think it moves you to be a better person as a Christian. Like, you're like, man, I got to get my life on track here. There's some things that are just not, you know, if people saw me doing this, it would really resonate. They would say, well, I thought that guy was a Christian and he's doing this or he's doing that. So I think it's just a song that you know, it could, and it should, and it probably does, and it has changed people's spiritual lives.
Kind of in the last few of the album now, Last Days is a song that as a kid, you know, coming out of the one that for the first time I got what Bob was on about with Seen and Not Heard. Last Days I didn't understand. Last Days eluded me a bit, and it's one that I've only really come to grasp and appreciate the older I've got. But Dave, how has this song stood out to you at all in this most recent re-listen?
Well, I think this is one of those songs that really plays on words quite well. It's almost got a bit of a double meaning in there, because you've got this feeling, we've been on this journey living for God, taking your faith deeper, being seen, don't hide, be seen to who you are. And then we get this song about, you know, there are people out there who've probably touched in on God, maybe had that initial belief, but it hasn't held firm. They've lost their way or whatever. And we get this idea in the last days, you know, we get this concept that the days being spelt D-A-Z-E, it's that idea of lost in a haze, in a fog, sort of confused and misdirected out in the world. And yet at the same time, we're getting lines like, you know, in the last days before the blaze. It's that play. It's almost like in the end times, we need to catch them back. We don't want to let them fall before we get to the end of time. Don't miss that chance. Reach out to them, because if we lose them, you know, it says in the last line, I weep for the souls of those who will never return to the fold. I mean, this is a heartfelt cry. There are people who lose their way, and we need to be reaching out to them. It doesn't say we need to be reaching out to them, but that, I believe, is the heart of this song, that people are going to get lost. People are going to get misdirected. The world are pulling at us, and the world are persecuting, and there are going to be people who get caught up in it all and just you know, let it go, but yeah, I just think we need to be reaching out to them musically. Again, we've got great variety here, real strong driving feel at the beginning. There are some great bass runs underneath it. That they get, you know, we sort of have that mix. We got the keys and the guitar, you know, the guitar and the bass all coming together. It's a real whole band song. They're all there together, united, forming this really strong, tight sound.
Hmm. Ron, this I imagine is one of the deep cuts, as you refer to it. Not as well known a Petra song, not one of the singles. Your reflections on Last Days?
I will say, sadly, it was not performed on the Beyond
Belief tour. Ah, dear.
No, I mean, I as a, you know, a deep cut. It's such a great track that I use that as the outro music of my Petra reunion interview. So I still put it in there just to, you know, so it gets a little bit of exposure. But look what these lyrics are saying. You know, some say he was one of us, a prodigal gone astray, but inside he's as cold as ice to the truth that he won't obey. You know, again, as you know, Dave, you were saying, you know, that some of them won't return to the fold. And you know what? I think these lyrics can speak to anybody, any Christian at any level of their life where they feel they're not living that life. They're almost feel that they've gone. I mean, I honestly can say that about myself, to be honest with you. There's definitely times, you know, I'm like, I have to think about that for my own self and reflect. And I'll just quickly relate a story since we're talking about these particular issues. And I worked for a DJ company, and I was playing in a secular pool hall. And what I was doing for outreach, which is kind of cool, Lindsay, you might like this. I was playing Petra music, Christian music.
Right on, yeah.
In the secular pool hall. Yep. So, you know, playing whatever song, you know, Aerosmith or whatever. And then I'm playing, you know, Seen and Not Heard, for an example.
Yeah.
Right. And one night I was playing a Petra song, and a guy came running up to me, and he had a beer in his hand, you know, he had cigarettes and he was, you know, a little tipsy, let's say. He had quite a few beers. And he goes, "Hey, that's Petra." And I was surprised too. I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Why are you playing Petra? What's going on with Petra?" And I said, "Well, you know." He goes, "No, no." He goes, "I know who they are, you know." And then he says to me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yeah." And then, you know what happened? His whole expression changed, and he looked very sad at me. And he put his two arms on me, and he kind of like grabbed my shoulders, and he's like, "Thank you so much." He goes, "I needed to hear that." He goes, "I'm a Christian." He goes, "I know I don't look like a Christian right now because you see me with a beer in my hand and I'm not all there." He goes, "But I've had some hard times in my life." He goes, "And sadly, this is the way I'm dealing with it. And I shouldn't be doing it." He goes, "But you being here, playing my favorite band of all time," he goes, "it's making me realize that God is talking to me, that I shouldn't be here drinking or smoking or doing the things that I shouldn't be doing as a Christian." And I said to myself, "You know, brother, that's great, because that means that God is talking now." And it was good that I was here to play the Christian music in a secular environment. You know, and we prayed right there in the whole place, like in the middle of that pool hall. We prayed, and I said I'd pray for him again, and you know, I wished him the best and everything. So it's again, on the topic of these last two songs, Seen and Not Heard, and then this one, Last Days. I just remember that incident from my life, and I realized how much God can impact, and how much this album and songs have impacted people's lives.
Hmm. Yeah, that's awesome, Ron. That's such a great memory to carry. Next to last song on the album is one that, I think one of the examples of, you talked about Bob Hartman being a fantastic lyricist. I think that's hugely on display. You get a concept of a song where you wanted to talk about who people, various people think that Jesus is or was. And you essentially structure the whole thing around the idea of no one just using his name, Jesus. It's a highlight of the album for me these days because of that. I think this is masterclass in lyric writing. That's before you even get to how effective it is as a rock song. Dave, how have you found, like, looking at What's in a Name?
Yeah, look, this is a little less heavy, a little bit backed off, because I really feel they're letting the name of Jesus carry it. The song is about this, who Jesus is. This is everything. His name is power. His name is authority. His name is the beginning and the end. He's everything that there is. And I think that they intentionally created a sound that was a little bit laid back. Now, it's not laid back. I mean, it's still driving, but it's not as heavy as the previous songs have been, because I feel it's about letting the name of Jesus, the message of who Jesus is, be emphasized above everything. We want it to be the carrier. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. It's, you know, in his name, demons flee. I mean, this song is just sending the message of, you know, whatever you think, you know, the world we live in today, Jesus is a swear word. Jesus is a word that people say in shock and horror. But this is the message of this song is he is everything. He's power, his authority, his glory, and we're going to lift that name up and we're going to sing it forever. There's a bit of a praise element to it as well. And, there's no solos in this song. They're not emphasizing instruments, because they're emphasizing word. They're emphasizing who Jesus is. And I think the song lays that foundation and pushes it from beginning to end. And it's a really strong, it's a strong song that has a message. It impacts your heart and your spirit. You know, we don't need to rely on gimmick as Christians. We don't need to rely on gimmick. We don't need to rely on flashiness or whatever, because the name of Jesus on its own is the power of life. You know, Jesus takes away our sin. Jesus redeems us. Jesus restores us. And the name of Jesus drives demons away. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. What more do you need?
Ron, can you answer that? Is there any more that we need?
Well, first of all, it's another great deep cut. You're right. And I love what it says in the, what's in a name that the demons flee? What's in a name that the captives go free? I mean, here's the thing. When people say, you know, how do you know that, let's say, Jesus is the way, or, you know, that Christianity is the faith, so to speak? Because, you know, obviously these are what people talk about, faith and religions. And, you know, how do you know that Jesus, you know, I say, well, you know what, because I don't know any other faith ever that when you speak the name of, let's say, whatever God you're following, right, that the demons flee. I mean, right? We don't hear about this in other, I don't hear about this in any other faith, right? That name is, it's so powerful. It's the one name where you can say it in a situation and it changes people's perspective. They will stop and do things, right? So many examples can be given about people who've been in a situation and mentioned Jesus, and then things just stopped on a dime because his name was uttered. And I don't know any other faith that has that impact. And it just, I think for me, it proves that, you know, Jesus is the way because it's in his name.
Right on, right on. Well, this leads us into to the close of the album, Beyond Belief, our second ballad, the song Prayer. And I want to kick it over to you again, Ron, because this came up again in that wonderful interview of you. You said that you've talked a bit over the years with John Schlitt as well. This song particularly really seems to mean something to him. He talked about this in that interview, and he seemed quite enthusiastic to engage about it. Would that be accurate, do you think, is that he has a particular attachment to this song?
Oh, yeah. I think of all the members of Petra, in that interview, he was the most enthusiastic about prayer. And what I love is, as enthusiastic as he was about prayer, and for those who've heard it and for those who haven't heard it, will hopefully go and listen to this interview after, is that he tells a hilarious story that on the Beyond Belief tour, that as much as he loves this song, he forgot the lyrics.
That's it, yeah.
Right? And I thought that was another one of the highlights of my interview with them. I thought that was one of the best moments, because it's one of the best stories, if not the best story of the whole interview. And for those who haven't seen it, I don't want to give too much of a spoiler, but for those who have seen it, that led into the "Get away from me."
Yeah.
That's right. You're on your own. So, I mean, no, prayer. It's again, we have a B-side of, you know, the flip side of Beyond Belief, all rock songs, hitting you heavy in the face. And again, the perfect way to end that side and the album is to bring it all down with a beautiful prayer. That the song itself is a prayer.
It's a prayer, yeah. That's it. Dave.
Yeah. In the devotional, in the More Power to You devotional, Bob says this, they were putting this together when they realized they needed another song for the album, and they were talking about what it should be. And the Elefantes, that they had, John Elefante had a melody. He wrote the melody and another collaboration song. And they just sort of said, write something personal. Write something really personal, and John said that, Bob said, this is sort of what came about. It was a song that is Petra's prayer, a song of thanksgiving for who God is, what He's done, His calling, His blessings, a prayer for the families, traveling. Like it was the prayer, and then a prayer for the ministry to reach people, and a prayer for the church. So it is the heart of Petra. Comes out in this song. It is a really beautiful song. We get a beautiful keyboard intro, and what's really, really important, I think, here is they pretty well keep it there. There's a little bit of bass through the song, but there's no drums and no guitars. It is essentially John Lowry at his musical best. He's playing keys and pads. He's building the song himself with what he's doing, and then John Schlitt's vocals. Last album, when we talked about Petra Praise, we talked about a couple of these songs that John did where he was singing the lower register and this beautiful sound that came out, and I said it would be so good to hear it happen again. We get it here. He sings this song in his lower register, not in the upper range. He's in this lower, really beautiful register that he has. It's simple, and because of its simplicity, it lets the words of the prayer just come through, and you can hear it. Like Ron said in the interview, that this song seems to hold a place for John in the way he sings it, because it comes out like the prayer of his heart. And John talks about how that's what he did when he sang it. He was just praying to God. Again, the backing vocals come in through the song, and it gets that feeling of a corporate prayer. We move from an individual prayer to a corporate prayer of the body. And then you get just this line in the song, "May unity in all things be the banner of the church." And at this point, you move into a chorus of unity of believers praying together. It's just a great way to finish. We've done this journey that ends on the prayer of our heart, And it's like an exclamation point. There's it never becomes overpowered. It builds simply and then just drops back again right at the end with a single pad sound. It's like an amen. We pray, we build, we get this corporate prayer, and I'm just going to bring it back. Thank you, God. Amen. And that's really this song is the climax of, you know, it's the end. We've come to the end of this album journey, and it has been an album journey. We've gone on a journey that you can register from the first song to the end. There's a theological, spiritual message coming through from beginning to end. And this prayer becomes the end point.